Okay, we are covering the last chapter. Everybody say last chapter. Very good. And Truth, a Rock Solid Faith, book four. This is the last one. So we're going to book one next week. And I want to remind you that book one, chapter one, some people say, I only want to start at the beginning. Well, this would be the week to start because it will be beginning next week, even though there is no... What are you doing here? Michael, what are you doing in my class? Have you really? Dear Lord, Michael, I love you. So it's... sorry. It's an emotional thing between him and I. I just want to remind you, so next week will be week one, Rock Solid Faith, book one. If you have the blue book, it's the blue book. If you have the smaller books, it's the yellow book. So I think the yellow book, book one, okay? So tonight we're covering the chapter on fasting. This is a chapter that's really not popular with a lot of people. We are actually, in America, one of the only countries that doesn't fast. It's really kind of wild. Majority of other countries, whether you're a Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Hindu, in all other religions, they fast. But in the American church, we don't like to talk about fasting. How many here have ever fasted before? Not because your doctor told you to. Amen. Who's ever fasted a day? 2 days? 5 days? 10 days. Whew. That's pretty good. There's a phenomenal book out there, and I'll try to find the name of it when the phone makes its way back. I'll share with you The Atomic Power of Prayer and Fasting is the name of the book. The Atomic Power of Prayer and Fasting. The book is written in the 1950s, and it actually gets into the health factors of fasting. Fasting is extremely healthy. In fact, after a 40-day, I think it's a 40-day fast, you literally have transitioned every cell out of your body and renewed it. They say if you're sick, the healthiest thing you can do is fast, because your cells start replacing themselves. And then all of a sudden, there is no more sick cells in you. It's pretty phenomenal when you study fasting. So tonight I want to talk about fasting, explain to you what fasting is, explain to you how to fast, the different types of fast, because Jesus made a very clear statement. He said, not if you fast, but when you fast. So fasting is a major part of your life. Everybody say, I love fasting. You're lying. You're going to hell. It's really, fasting is hard. It's a challenge. You know, there are two main drives within humanity. Are you ready? Do you know what they are? Food and sex. Very good. Food and sex are the two main drives of humanity. And so, fasting attaches to itself mainly to food. And what happens is when you start fasting food, it changes your life because you're starving the flesh to feed the spirit. Starving the flesh to feed the spirit. And this is foreign to many people. Most people do not fast unless a doctor tells them you must fast for your test. Now, I do want to say this. Fasting is very easy if you're not fasting on purpose. Has anybody ever gotten so busy you just didn't eat? And you didn't even get hungry. But I challenge you, tell your body the night before you're fasting for one day and you're going to start chewing your knuckles off by noon. They look good. Salt and pepper, it's all over. You've eaten it all. It's all gone. So fasting is a challenge because it really is a spiritual activity to where you're challenging your flesh man to come into subjection to the Holy Spirit. That is really what fasting is about. So fasting is very important to where we are bringing our flesh. What's our flesh? The Bible says our flesh, remember, we are trichotomous. Everybody say trichotomous. Turn to someone and say, you are trichotomous. It almost sounds sick, doesn't it? Trichotomy is you are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. You are a spirit. The Bible says that we are created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. We know that God is a spirit, according to John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We as spiritual people are different from even animals. You know how everybody says, well, we're just another animal on the planet. Animals are dichotomous. They have a soul and they have a body, but they do not have an eternal spirit. Only those with eternal spirits have the ability to last beyond just this natural world. And so as you and I, created in the image of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and a spirit, we are being trichotomous. So we have a spirit. If you're not born again, your spirit man is dead. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 that you are dead in your trespasses and sin. Now the Bible says that also the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that your spirit man is dead in your trespasses and sins. Now we know that if you die in your sin, according to the Word of God, you shall partake of what's called the second death. That's found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The second death is when you stand before the white throne judgment because your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, because you did not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but decided that you are going to die for your own sins, pay for your price for your own sins. Therefore, your spirit man will still live forever. Every human being is eternal. Every human being is eternal. You're either eternally saved in the presence of Christ or eternally damned, not in hell. Hell is a holding tank in what's called the lake of fire. So as believers, you and I, our spirit is alive. Now, the Bible says that when you're saved, you are alive in Christ and dead to sin. Your soulish man is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the soul is the enemy of God, the enemy of your spirit. Why? Because we're fighting, it's fighting against each other. Your soul, your intellect, your emotions, and your will do not want to submit themselves to the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. I want to remind you one more time that when you became born again, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That literally, not figuratively, the Spirit of God who brooded over the earth at creation now dwells, possesses inside of you. So now when you become born again, for you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again, according to John chapter 3, verse 3, that now that you're born again, your spirit man is alive. Literally, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Your spirit is alive. Those who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have the very personality of the Holy Spirit. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. And now the Holy Spirit, when he starts running and ruling through you or living through you, we now will see what's called the fruit or personality of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So it's imperative that you recognize that there is a battle going on. The battle really, if you're born again, is not with the devil. How many of you know that? The devil is already defeated. Boom. Jesus said in Colossians chapter 2, I made an open show of the devil. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 28, I've given you all authority. And that's Luke 10 as well, over the devil. So you and I as believers, the devil is not our adversary. He's already been whooped. The real fight that we have is not against flesh and blood, but against our own little head. Amen? The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. And the Bible then goes on to say that we must bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So the real fight that we have is not with the enemy, Satan, because he's defeated. The real fight that we have is bringing our soul into subjection with the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have a physical body. Anybody here not have a physical body? If you have a physical body, please pinch the person next to you and make sure they're alive. Did it work? Yeah, he's alive. If you're alive, your physical body obeys who's in control, either your spirit man, governed by the Holy Spirit, or your flesh, governed by you. So the goal in what God's design is that your soul will be subject to the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. Well, this is where fasting comes in and has a major part of our walk with the Lord. Because our flesh, which is its own appetite, which we know the three main drives of humanity. Ready? Here they are. For men, it's this way. Sex, food, sleep. Well, why don't you tell us? I'm sorry. Here we go. I'm sorry, man. You got caught in that one. And I'm tonight, I'm kind of in a funny mood, so be careful. For ladies, it's different. You ready? Sleep, food, sex. And all men said, amen. So here we are. The appetites are different, but still the flesh appetite is strong. And so there's a need to bring your flesh into subjection to the Holy Spirit. Fasting accomplishes that. Fasting does not move God. Fasting is not for God. The old school church taught something totally different. The old school taught that if you fasted, God's going to move faster for you. That's not fasting at all. Fasting doesn't do anything for God. What fasting does is it makes you bring your flesh into subjection to the Holy Spirit. It starves your main desires and says, you are not going to control me. Food is not going to control me. Sex is not going to control me. So on and so forth. Sleep is not going to control me. I've watched sleep control a lot of people. And that you are going to be a person that is going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So fasting is not something that we do rarely. It should be something that's part of our spiritual life. Anybody said amen. So there's two types of fasting. One's called individual fasting, and this is for every single believer. I would challenge you to fast once a week. I appreciate that from the back. Why fasting once a week? Let's just talk about two reasons. Number one, fasting once a week brings your flesh into subjection once a week, but also it's extremely healthy. They actually will teach that if you will fast once a week and drink water during that fast, you are actually purging the toxins out of your body. It's extremely healthy to fast. So fasting once a week, one day a week, what it will do, number one, brings your flesh into subjection, but number two, it cleanses your body and keeps you healthy. How many of you know that you have toxins in your body? Let me prove it to you. Have you ever slept too much, and when you got up, you were just more tired? You couldn't understand, why am I so tired? I just slept for 14 hours. I had a kid in my Bible school. His name was Wesley. He used to what we called power sleep. Wesley would sleep 20 hours at a clip. No, seriously. Wesley slept 20 hours at a clip. He'd look at me and go, don't bother me. It's power sleep day. Boom, 20 hours, gone. He'd get up and he'd go, man, I'm so tired. The reason is that your body was not made to sleep in the aspect of just sleeping all those hours. Your body's made to move. So what happens is when you oversleep, you actually allow the toxins to continue to build up in your physical body, and it actually makes you more tired. So fasting, what fasting will do is it brings your flesh into subjection, it starves your flesh desire to eat, and therefore brings it into alignment with God. So fasting is very important. Matthew chapter 6, 16 and 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Now, there are people that fast like this. Oh, I just feel so weak. What's wrong? Oh, I'm fasting. That's, come on now, turn to someone and say, that's just stinking messed up. Amen? That's messed up. The Bible says, don't do that. Don't go around with it, I'm fasting. Don't go tell everybody, oh, I can't eat today, I'm fasting. Fasting, when you're doing it individually, is private. It's between you and God because you're starving your flesh. And it goes on to say this, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that they do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So know this, that when you individually fast, don't run around and tell everybody you're fasting. Fast between you and God, and God will bless you. Why? Because whenever you bring your flesh into subjection, your spiritual ear becomes more keen to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's one of the greatest things about fasting, is it makes you keen. If you have fasted more than 5 days before, you will find that you can actually hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit in your ear. I have fasted over 10 days before, and listen now, for myself, fasting is really not a challenge. You know, it used to be really difficult, but after a while, when you fast often, fasting really, it's not horrific. Usually, it takes 2 days to get past you're eating your finger days, and you hate everybody. You know, what do they call it? Hangry. You know, I'm just hangry. You know, after 2 days, you break through that. But after you get through that era, let's just say the fifth and sixth day, you're not even hungry. You can go as long as you want and not be hungry. It's really not that difficult, especially if you're drinking water properly, purging your body. You'll actually get strength right around the seventh day that you've never had before. You're going to feel phenomenal after 7 days of fasting. But one of the things that I found about fasting long term is that actually your spirit man becomes so keen because your flesh has been brought so far under. To where the Word of God just shouts to you now. When you read the Bible, it becomes even more alive and more real the longer you have fasted. When you're in church, God's Holy Spirit, your worship will become more pure. When you're in the process of needing a direction from God, it's so easy to get direction from the Lord when you've fasted long term. Why? Because your flesh is completely submitted, and now your spirit is ruling. And you hear so clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I would challenge you to fast. Now, I would challenge you to fast. If you're a diabetic, I would encourage you to go to your doctor and say, I would like to fast. How can I do this healthy-wise? Some people take serious medications, and you have to eat. You don't have a choice to eat. So there are different ways to fast as well, and we'll get into those here in a little bit. The second type of fasting is called the corporate fast. And that is, we do that twice a year at His Tabernacle Family Church. The very first week of every new year, we take 4 days as a church and we fast together. That means everybody fasts for 4 days. Now, there are other churches who do corporate fasts. They do what's called a Daniel fast. I'll explain that a little bit later as well. A Daniel fast is only vegetables. You can eat as many vegetables as you want. And a lot of those churches will go 30 to 40 days with just vegetables. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've done both. Straight fast is a lot easier than just eating vegetables. Number one, you're on the toilet all the time. Number two, I don't care how many vegetables you eat, you can't get full. It's just horrible. Give me meat. So I really, you know, everyone's a little bit different. My wife lived the Daniel fast kind of thing just simply because she didn't eat meat for so many years. So the corporate fast is very important. And when we call a corporate fast, everybody should come in and fast together. Well, why is that? Because then as a corporate body, we're able to hear the voice of God and move with the Spirit of God as a group, as an entire group. So we do fasting at the beginning of the year. We also started this year doing fasting in September. So we fast Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. We come in and fast as an entire church. We fast food for all those days. Now, I'll explain a little bit more later on that. Let me read verses. Jeremiah 36, verse 9. Now, it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people of Jerusalem and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Leviticus chapter 23, 26 through 27. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, also, the tenth of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation for you, which means separate yourself, like I'm talking about, separating yourself from the flesh. You shall afflict your souls, Isn't that what fasting does? And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So it's important that you fast. Turn to someone and say, fasting is important. If you can't fast, now let's just ship out medical reasons. If you can't fast, it means your flesh owns you. So if you don't have a medical issue, everybody in this room should be fasting once a week. All righty. Listen, I didn't write the book. I would challenge you to fast. Some people say, well, I'll fast a meal. Okay, start with a meal. Then go to two meals. Then go to three meals. I don't know, I think that's just torture. You know, fast. Your first 2 days, you're going to hate everybody and everything. And you need to stay in cages. Keep your hands down so they don't chew. But honestly, what happens is you're going to find a breakthrough in your spiritual life. Some people have never had a spiritual breakthrough in their life because they've never fasted. Their flesh still controls every facet of their life. And until you start fasting, you're going to find that your spiritual walk with the Lord is going to be capped. Now, a lot of churches don't talk about this any longer. They don't talk about fasting. And if they do, it's, you know, fast, like I said, the Daniel fast, which is really not that difficult, or some other kind of fast. You know, let's just fast chocolate. You know, we don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But fasting is supposed to make you uncomfortable. Fasting is supposed to be a challenge to your flesh. If you love to fast, there is something wrong with you. I don't love to fast. But when I fast, I love the results. And that is that my life comes back into order. Fasting brings order in your life. Why? Because your flesh has now been brought into subjection. Your physical body has been brought into subjection to the Holy Spirit. So I really want to challenge you to start fasting at least once a week. Now, what are the spiritual benefits of fasting? Number one, it breaks the power of Satan and sin over your life. Isaiah 58, verse 6. And is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every voice. So what happens when you fast is it literally breaks the power of the flesh in your life. You are now telling yourself, you are not going to control me. I will be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not by fleshly desires. And I challenge you. Let me tell you, right now when we start talking about that, that might not be exciting at all. But some of you have never fasted a meal, except the doctor told you to, and then you got mad at the doctor. Start fasting, and you're going to find spiritual breakthroughs, a breaking of sin in your life. Some of you struggle with certain sins. You need to fast to break that sin. Well, how will it break it? Because it brings order to your life. And your spirit man, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You will find that God will take a greater control in your life when you start to fast. Number two, it humbles the believer. Joel chapter 2, 12 and 13. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Psalms 35, 13. I humble my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. So fasting keeps you humble. Well, why? Well, because your perspective is in order. You're going to hear that word a lot tonight, and that's called order. A lot of people are out of order. A lot of people don't, they are being controlled by things that are temporary and not what's eternal. And there's a need to bring your life into order. Life into order. Flesh into order. Sin under control. That works through the power of fasting. It gives you more spiritual power. Matthew 17, 19 through 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And the context of this was the disciples were trying to cast out a devil and couldn't cast out the demon. And so the parent brought this to Jesus and says, why can't your disciples cast out this demon? And Jesus said, these don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Now, it's important for you and I to understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual warfare. And that demonic spirits, they understand your authority. And your authority and my authority that is in Jesus Christ is empowered by the blood of Christ, but also through our level of obedience. Remember the seven sons of Sceva. These were guys that watched demons being cast out by Paul. And they walked up to a guy who was demon-possessed. There was seven brothers walked up to this guy in the book of Acts who was demon-possessed and said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preached, I command you to come out. Sorry. Kind of come on me. Immediately, what happened? The demon spoke through the man and said, now Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And the one man who was demon-possessed beat up the seven brothers, beat them up, stripped them butt naked, and sent them running home to mama. Now, if you don't believe me, read the book of Acts. Literally, stripped them butt naked, beat the snot out of them, and sent them running home. One demon-possessed man. Why? Because demonic spirits recognize authority. And when your flesh is in subjection, there's a higher level of authority. There is more power in your life. So what are the physical benefits? Fasting allows the major organs of the body, the liver, kidney, heart, etc., to rest and provide the opportunity for internal cleansing and revitalization. It is literally a house cleaning in your physical system. So it's important to fast. I would really, again, encourage you to purchase that book, The Atomic Power of Prayer and Fasting. He breaks down all the details of the physical health that will be generated in your life if you will fast. And it is phenomenal. Fasting is so healthy for you. There are different types of fasts. Here we go. The regular fast. This is where you fast all food. Even Tic Tacs. Put a Tic Tac in your mouth and, sorry. That's funny. I know people that will fast, but they'll eat Tic Tacs. Like 10 boxes of them a day. Did you fast? I only had Tic Tacs. 10 boxes a day of Tic Tacs just to take care of themselves. Listen, if you're fasting, you need to know that you should have water. Water is how you fast. It's called a full fast. So when you do a full fast, it's just water, water only. Not water with sugar sprinkled in it. Amen. I will give you a hint. If you are a coffee drinker, start weaning off coffee 1 month in advance. Because you have never had a headache until you've had a coffee headache during fasting. You can't pray. You only sit there like this. The pain is excruciating. Ask me how I know. So what my wife and I do before fasting is we will actually come off coffee. It will take us a month. We'll get off coffee completely. And then my wife always says, I'm never going back to coffee again. Then we're not too long. And she says, can you bring me a cup of coffee? So it's important to know that when you fast, you want a full fast. Now, some people use juices, but just remember what you're doing is you're still satisfying that sugar hunger that you have. Has anybody ever fasted sugar? You've come off sugar? It takes almost 7 days to come off sugar. Has anybody ever tried that before? You feel sick. You get headaches. You get irritable, there you go. And you actually feel like you're going to pass out sometimes. Sugar is so addicting at this point that so many individuals are so saturated that when you start coming off, and that's one of the challenges of the beginning of fasting, is you're starving yourself of sugar. So when you're using fruit juices, and some people who use fruit juices are those that struggle with fasting for health reasons, maybe a low blood sugar itself. So you need to talk to your doctor if you have issues with your with diabetes or with low blood sugar. You need to talk to your doctor to make sure you fast properly so you can fast safely. And this will empower you. So a full fast is 100% solid, just water. Well, you guys are quiet tonight. I don't know why we did this as the last one, because you'd want to be excited after the last one. Yes. Maybe it's because we're talking. We're going to fast Thanksgiving Day. When that pie comes out. The second type of fast is called a partial fast. Partial fast is refraining from specific meals or multiple meals, but not the entire day. Now, what you'll find about the Jewish nation is they would fast from sunup to sundown. So from sunup to sundown, there's no eating. It's just fasting. But after sun goes down, munch. You know, it's time to eat. So you'll also find that other religions do that exact same thing, too, where it's sunup to sundown, and then they'll eat after the sun goes down. So some people do a partial fast, and they do it mainly because maybe they have a more physical job or some other aspect of that. Whatever it is, when you start starving your flesh, that's the goal. So whether you do partial or full fast is your choice. The next one is called a Daniel fast, and it's when you're refraining from all meats and only eating fruits and vegetables. Woo, Jesus, help us all. I don't know why that one really bothers me, but I have the hardest time with that fast. Maybe that's what I should do then, right? The next one is a sexual fast.
Selah.
Sexual fast is when you choose as a married couple that you will not be intimate with each other, but for a short period of time. Now, I do want you to turn real quickly to 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 7. I'm not sure which one, so I'm going to try to get there first. I think it's... First Corinthians 7. It is. Thank you. And it talks about fasting as a married couple. Now, concerning the things which wrote to you, it is not good for a man to be alone, not good for a man to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each one have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, likewise also the wife to the husband. Oh, that means you should not say no. If you're married, holding out is not the answer. You know what's really weird? Because I've done marital counseling for so many years. It used to be the woman would hold out on the husband as penalties. Now I'm finding a big shift where a lot of men are holding out sexually on the woman. I knew one man held out 3 years on his wife. And by the way, they're not married any longer. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of the lack of self-control. So, sexual fasting is when a husband and wife make a decision they're going to fast sex for a short period of time, and the reason for that, according to the scripture, is so that they're not tempted by Satan, and because of the temptation of the flesh, that they're not going to be drawn into sin. So there's sexual fast, there's the Daniel fast, there's the partial fast, and there is a full fast. There's one more fast that that I like to talk about. It's called living a fasted lifestyle. Living a fasted lifestyle. What does it mean to live a fasted lifestyle? It means that you fast whatever controls you. So I remember one year I decided I was going to fast television for an entire week, not watching anything, not even the news, no nothing. And what I found was that I didn't watch a lot of TV. I probably watched maybe 2 hours of television a day because I was extremely busy. But what I would do is I would come home from work and I would watch an hour of television mainly as a decompression, you know, system. You know, I would climb into my nothing box and I would shut the world off by clicking through the television. And when I fasted that week, it was the hardest thing because I now did not know what to do with myself for that hour. It was, you know, it seemed to somebody else, 2 hours is no big deal. You know, that's not a serious problem with television. But at the same time, it became such a habit, such a control, such normalcy that once I started fasting, even that hour of television, it really was a challenge for me to figure out what to do for that 1 hour that I normally would be watching television with. Now, some people fast their computers. When I do a full fast, so like when we do January or September, I usually don't just fast food because that's, like I said, not that difficult for me at this point, but I will fast food and all electronics. The only time I'll answer my phone is if it's a business call. I will not be on Facebook. I will not be on Twitter. I will not be on anything. I will not be browsing the web. And it's like, do you know these new phones, they actually tell you how much time you spend on social media? Have you seen that yet? These new phones, it's really wild. Where are you? Come here, come here, come here. Where is that? Don't call me a liar. Where is that? Did you find it? How many hours did you spend? 3 hours and 35 minutes a day. I can't find it. Anyways. So what you want to do is you can actually, it's a hard fast for me. Fasting all computer, all electronics, that puts me more in convulsions than fasting food. So I challenge you to live a fasted lifestyle. That means anything that controls your life, fast it. If you're finding that it's hard to say no to it, fast it. And what you'll find is that you'll always keep your life in order. Your spirit will be in control of your soul, and your body will automatically respond. Questions? I know it's not the most exciting class. I apologize. Normally, we are a little bit more exhilarating. But whenever we get to this one on fasting, everybody gets, like, irritated. Well, I thought there was going to be a better teaching. Well, this is a great teaching when you really apply it to your life. Here we go. I do want to say this. Fasting is not a diet plan. I know people say, well, I fast every year 5 days because I need to lose at least 10 pounds. Listen, there is a benefit, and that is that your body goes into ketosis after a few days. But the purpose of fasting is not to lose weight. You will lose weight, but that is not the purpose of losing weight. And let's be honest, usually if you're fasting and you lose weight, it's not too long till you find it again. Amen. So another thing about fasting is, what do you do when I fast? You know, it's not just, like I said, it's not a diet plan. So what do you do? Number one, do cleanse yourself of all unforgiveness. So what you want to do when you start fasting, you're going to, again, after your first day, your mind starts coming to yourself again. And then you start asking the Holy Spirit, where is there unforgiveness in my heart? Remember, unforgiveness is powerful because unforgiveness stops the power of God in your life. If you have not read my wife's book yet, I would challenge you to do so. You can usually get them here on Sunday. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. And that is, what's it called? Thank you. Some of you read it. No More Hurt. where you learn how unforgiveness actually stops the power of God in your life. Unforgiveness is one of your greatest enemies when you're dealing with how to continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So when you're fasting, you're going to find that unforgiveness is going to start surfacing in your life. And God is going to start challenging you to forgive people. Why? Because he wants to release the power of God in your life in a greater dimension so that the anointing will break every yoke of bondage in your heart. So here, you need to start asking the Lord while you're fasting, where are the people in my life that I have not forgiven? And Holy Spirit, I want to forgive them. Help me to walk through this. Number two, you need to read your Bible. If you're not feeding your natural man, you need to feed your spiritual man. Now, remember when I really started learning fasting, I was in Bible college, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, every Sunday afternoon, do not go to eat with the rest of the students after church. I want you to go up into the balcony. Well, I remember going up into the balcony of the church. You know, the church is closed. I'm the only one in there. Seats about 500-plus people. I'm up in the balcony, and it's lunchtime. And I remember, like, the first month or so, because I'm fasting every Sunday, one day, which means you're chewing your arms off, and I'm sitting up in the balcony, and I'm hungry. My stomach is growling, and I didn't have extra like I have now. I was kind of thin. And I would sit up there, and I remember I prayed every prayer I knew within 20 minutes. And I was fasting and praying every Sunday from noon.
One, two.
Now I'm going to drool down my face because I got M&M's in my mouth.
One.
Has anybody ever seen Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames? I was Satan in it.
I'm going to get you.
Sorry, just wasting time.
One.
I wonder if I can get to 10 before it echoes, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Come on now.
So, like faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. How are we doing? We got that set?
No.
You gonna grab me a different mic? See, the devil hates fasting. Yeah.
One.
Okay. So fasting, you need to read the Bible. Now, and not only that time, but I brought my flesh into subjection over those 6 hours, every Sunday, 6 hours, no food. That means I miss lunch and I miss supper, and we'll go from service right to service, go right into the next one. And I found I did it for over a year. It really was one of the strongest propulsions of my walk with the Lord. Another time about fasting was, my mom was a witness of this. I came home for a break and the Lord told me to fast every lunch all summer long. Now, my dad would give me jobs to do. I would paint houses in Massachusetts. That's how I paid for my college. And he would just give me a house. Here's your house. Paint the house. You get all the profit. So I would paint the house. And at lunchtime, I would just go out and I would find a spot and I would fast lunch and I would just pray and read the word. I would feed my spirit. I'm starving my flesh, but I'm feeding my spirit. So that's what fasting is about. Starving the flesh, but feeding the spirit. You also need to practice good hygiene. Whether you realize it or not, when you start to fast, especially when you go, the toxins are initially being expelled from your tissues and from your cells and from your skin. Everybody knows that, right? It comes out your skin. And what happens is there's a need to bring some deodorant with you, because you're going to stink a little bit. Your breath will stench. That's where a Tic Tac is not bad, just don't eat 10 boxes. So there's a need to pay attention to your hygiene as well. Now, that's why you start to expel all those toxins. There's an aroma that can come, as well as your breath will stink badly. So you want to make sure that you practice good hygiene when you fast. Amen? Things not to do when you fast. Don't have a bad attitude. I hate fasting. I hate you. Don't have a bad attitude. That's not what it's about. It's about arresting your flesh. So that means your intellect, your emotions, bring your emotions into alignment with the Word of God, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Well, I can't control myself. That's a lie. You can control yourself. The devil made me do it. That's a lie, too. He can't control you either. You and I are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and that is by bringing our flesh into subjection. So the more you fast, you'll find the more you bring your life in order, the more your spirit man is ruling and your flesh man is starving. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. Amen? Number two, don't brag about your fasting. We already talked about that. Don't engage in carnal activity. You know, you don't want to be fasting and going to a party. You know, you don't want to be fasting and doing things that are ungodly. It's just like going against the grain. Here we go. While praying, focus your prayers on the following. You want to pray for certain things. Now, some of you have never been taught how to pray. That's a class you don't want to miss when we get to Rock Solid Faith. Why is that? Because there's not one way to pray. There's multiple ways to pray. There's multiple tools in your toolbox in how to pray. The prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement. We can go through a whole list. There's a whole list of different types of prayer. You want to know how to pray. So when you're fasting, you want to pray. What do you want to pray about? Well, you know, you want to pray about divine protection for you and your family. I posted even online on my blog just a few weeks ago on how to pray for your family, how to pray the covenant over your family. Pray for your family. Pray protection. Pray strengthening. You want to pray for a greater anointing in your life, because the more your flesh is in subjection, the more the power of God can be released through your life. You also want to pray for your leaders. You want to pray for our national leaders. You want to pray for your state leaders. And I'm not talking cursing them. I'm talking, you want to pray for them. Because if they don't know Jesus, you want them to know Jesus. Amen? And then you want to pray for your spiritual leaders. You want to pray for your pastor. You want to pray for the different other pastors in the church. You want to pray for your family. Except there's just so much to pray for. Pray for new souls. Pray for laborers. Pray for increased overflow of your finances, for your own home and for the house of God. You want to pray for cleansing, strengthening, obedience in the Word of God. Pray against sickness and disease. So read the following scriptures and adhere and rehearse them daily during your fast. And there are different verses here that you can actually quote and speak over your life. Now, how many of you know the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow, is in a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is supernatural. The Bible says the word is living. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. That's John chapter 6. So here we have the word of God is supernatural. So during a fast, the more you speak the word, the more you're going to have power being released from your life. And this is the supernatural aspect of the anointing being released through prayer and fasting. I challenge you to quote the word, speak the word, declare the word, and you'll find that the word will come more alive. Read books, read the Bible, of course, and then Christian literature. Coming off a fast, when you come off a fast, you have to be smart. I'm usually not. Just letting you know. I did good this year. Because I just kept remembering all the time sitting on the toilet. Coming off a three-day fast, you don't go eat at Ruby Tuesdays or Applebee's and get ribs or the Elbow Room and get ribs and chicken wings. And they taste so good, though, after 3 days. I'm talking like there's no taste like that after 3 days. It's just like, yes, God is alive and he created food. But your body, remember, after 3 days, your intestinal system has started to shut down and is no longer working at a normal capacity. So what's happened is there's a need to slowly bring your body back. Now, especially if you've done long-term fasts, which are 7 to 10 days and plus, to go back and just start eating regular food, you will actually get quite sick because your intestinal system has stopped. It's no longer functioning on a normal basis. So you have to come off a fast wisely. When I came off the 10-day fast, it actually takes as many days to come off the fast as the days you fast, if you want to do it wisely. I've yet to do that. But if you want to do it wisely, that's the best way to do it. So the last long-term fast I did, I started coming off the fast by going and having broth. I started by getting back into broth. And then I would start having not liquid, but a little bit more solid liquid, like not a shake, but what do they call them? Smoothies. So I would have my wife make me a smoothie for a day or two. And then I'd come off that. And then I would go to start, to a semi-harder food. And then by the fourth, fifth day, I was back to eating a normal food. And I felt okay. But I would really challenge you, if you're going to do a long-term fast, don't just start eating hamburgers and hot dogs, even though hamburgers and hot dogs are really good. You know, you don't eat those right off the bat. You want to come off a little bit slow so that you don't make yourself ill. There's usually a fight in the toilet. Our family used to do this. After the fast in January, our family would always go over to TGI Fridays. We'd all sit around the table. We'd order ribs, hamburgers, chicken wings, and I don't know. I never made it out of the store. I didn't even make it out. It hit the bottom of my stomach, and you hear, it's just like a manifestation starting to happen. And I never made it out. I would never even make it out. And every year I'd say to myself, what are you doing? You're so stupid. It hurts so bad. But it tastes so good. But this year I overcame my flesh and I came off it properly. So I want to challenge you. Fasting is very important. Some of you have never done this and you need to start fasting. You need to start. This is a big part of your walk with the Lord. And you're saying, well, if God is requiring me to fast, then I don't know if I want to serve God. Well, listen, again, like I'm saying, we are really one of the only countries in the world where fasting isn't normal. Fasting is normal in every other country, just America. Why? Well, because really, Americans are really ruled by our stomachs. We're really ruled by food. Yeah, we are a very gluttonous nation. And you know, the statistics are in. We have one of the highest rates of obesity in the world. And the reason for that is because we've allowed our flesh to own and control us. And there's a need spiritually for us to fast. Like I said, Jesus didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. So everybody needs to take this on. This is something that needs to become part of the fabric of your life. And I'm not saying you should fast 10 days every other day. You can actually hurt yourself. I knew a gentleman who fasted 3 40-day fasts in 1 year, and he destroyed his metabolism. And he has a leg the size of a house. And he can't lose weight because he destroyed his metabolism. That wasn't God. God's not asking you to destroy yourself. He just wants you to bring your flesh into subjection. And if the three main drives in your life are controlling you, then you need to bring them into subjection. And I find that there are times that I will actually restrain myself from being able to sleep. I won't go to bed till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll get up at 5 on purpose. And I'll do that to make sure that sleep never controls my life. Then there are times when my wife and I will make an agreement, or she's on a ministry or I'm on a ministry, and sexually that's just not an option, so we take it as a fast. And then there are times on a more constant basis that I'm fasting a full fast on a day, sometimes 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 5, sometimes 7, where I'm just fasting and making sure that my flesh is not in control of my spirit. So fasting is a major part of a Christian's life, and I challenge you to start fasting. If nothing else, live a fasted lifestyle. And that is, you can look at your life honestly and say, whatever is controlling my life right now, I'm going to fast it until that power is broken. There's nothing wrong with controlling something. There's something wrong when it controls you. You should only have one Lord. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Food should not be your Lord. And if you can't fast food, it's your Lord. Amen. TV should not be your Lord. If you can't fast TV, it's your Lord. Amen. Money should not be your Lord. We did a money fast 1 year. I hated every second of it. Listen, here's the money fast. I told him we're never doing it again. And that is, for 1 month, you spend no extra money besides your bills. Everything, every time you go out to eat, instead of going out to eat, you take that money and you sow that money. We did it for 1 month. It was horrible. Just a horrible fast. And I don't see it in the Bible. I said, we're never doing it again. It's not in the Bible. Yeah, we did really good financially. How many of you know you eat a lot? You know, you eat a lot of food. So all these extras, so like we would go to the movies every week. Instead of going to the movies every week as our date, we would have to do a date that cost no money, and we would take the money that we would have put into the movies, and we sow it into the kingdom. The church really was blessed that month. I would rather have just given the church the money and gone out on the dates. It would have been easier for me. So everybody, fasting, whatever controls your life, you need to fast. If you've never fasted food, it probably controls your life. So control it. Food is good. God created food. But he never created food to own you, to control you. So if you can't fast, then you've got to ask yourself, who's in control? Amen? Questions. This is one of the shorter classes you'll ever experience in Rock Solid Faith. Because no one ever responds, no one ever smiles during this class at all. So I kind of just get right through it. Over 30 days. I believe it was 40, wasn't it? 40-day fast is actually the healthiest fast you can do. After 40 days, your breath actually returns to like the breath of a baby, you know, even the aroma of a baby. Everything, like I said, every cell is cycled out in a 40-day fast. So they tell you if you have cancer, you fast long term. And it actually purges the cancer out of your body, cleanses all cellular level. If you get that book, The Atomic Power of Prayer and Fasting, he breaks down all of the health issues that are in there. Other questions? All right, who's fasting this week? Don't raise your hand. You're not supposed to tell anybody. No, just fast. You'll love it. Maybe. Yes. From 4 in the morning to 2. Yes. Right, and that would not be considered a fast. Because what you want to do, if you're not feeding your spirit, like at normal food times, then you're just withholding food from you. Uh-huh. Great. Then you are fasting. Yep. Yeah, isn't that a great book, Battlefield of the Mind? I know. No lie, man. I'm serious. Some of these books are so good. If you've never read Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Myers, man, it needs to be a book that's in your bookcase and opened up and read 3 or 4 times. I see that hand, young man.
I drew the church and everyone in it, I had no time to draw the people, but I made this bat. What was it called where you get dumped in the water? I forgot.
Baptismal tank.
I drew one of those, and then I drew some people getting baptized by you.
Did I hold them under too long?
Nope.
Try to kill the flesh. Hold them under longer. When their feet start to kick, you know it's perfect time. Anybody else on fasting? I do really honestly, this is something that will change your life. You need to fast. If you've never fasted, you need to fast. Start off with one meal if that's what you got to do. But listen, normally, like I said, you can skip a meal. It's usually no big deal. But tell your flesh you're fasting for that meal. Dude, you're going to actually see the rearing up of your flesh like you've never seen before. Don't tell me I'm not eating. Your body gets mad. You've missed how many meals? No big deal. Tell yourself you're fasting and your flesh rises up. That's when you know you're going to win a battle. Amen? So remember, this has nothing to do with God. Your fasting does not change God's mind. Your fasting does not make God move quicker. Your fasting, you and I fasting, is for this purpose, is to bring our flesh into subjection and make sure that the Spirit of God is ruling us, not our intellect, emotions, and our will. That's the purpose of fasting, and everybody should fast. Amen. I'll tell you later. Fast. Everybody should fast at least once a week just for your own health issues. Anybody else? I never get questions on this night. That's why I thank whoever brought me M&Ms. You just are so loved. It was you? I love you, Terry. All right, no more questions? Next week, we start in chapter 1 of the Blue Book. Or chapter 1 of, I believe, the Yellow Book. And Who's Your Daddy is the title. Amen. You're going to love it. We're going to get into. Yes, I see that hand.
I have a question about, we didn't start at the beginning.
Right.
We started the week of healing.
Yes. You go all the way until you come to healing, then you know you're done. Okay? So wherever you, did my son just steal my M&Ms?
No.
You did. So wherever you start is where you end. Everyone says, shouldn't I start at the beginning? There is no beginning and there is no end of this class. Wherever you start, you end. So mark in your book, wherever you started, you will end. All right? I'll fight you. Yeah, you have. And actually, you know what I find? I'll be honest with you. You need to take this class at least twice. And the reason for that is, if you're fresh in the gospel, we are giving you, this is theology 101, 102, and 103. This is not baby food. This is real principles of doctrine that help you know what you believe so you don't have to be an ignorant Christian. I don't believe that Christians should be dumb. I don't believe they should be ignorant. I believe we should know what we believe. The Bible says you should be able to have an answer to every man that would ask you according to your faith. And this is what happens. Most churches keep your keep the church people dumb. We don't want you to be dumb here. We want you to know what you're talking about. And you do. Your second time around, your first time is like, I've never heard that before. Second time around is like, I've heard that. Wow. And now I get it. I really challenge you to take the class at least twice. You don't have to. You can actually take it online as well. I don't know how many people know that. All these classes are archived on our website. You can go to histabernacle.com, go to live, go to archives. I just looked at it tonight. It goes all the way back to 2015. So you can watch Rock Solid Faith. You can watch every Rock Solid Faith right online. Okay? Any other questions? Awesome. We are done early.